Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay on Friday, December 5th. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, we'll take a look at the return of a favourite festival in Medway. Generous donations giving hope to children this Christmas, and we'll preview this weekend's Gillingham game against Colchester. But first, taking a look at our top story today. More than 80 jobs could be lost at a steel manufacturer in Medway. ArcelorMittal Kent Wire are consulting with staff on redundancies. It's as they look to pull out of their base at Chatham Docks, which has been included in the area's draft local plan for housing. Kelly Tolhurst is a former Medway MP who campaigned to save the docks.
My view, and it's always been my view, even when the Conservatives were in control locally, you know, the local plan has got to be more than just about houses and housing numbers. And that has been the case with the local plan for a number of years, obsessing about numbers and not even what type of housing, just numbers.
Mm. Yeah, but that was your government, you know, that were pressing those numbers.
Well, absolutely. But with a local plan, there is more to a local plan than just the numbers. You've also got to establish infrastructure. You've got to establish business, you know, industrial space where, you know, people can develop and grow. You can't just build houses without any other plan or how you're going to deliver everything else.
Yeah, but successive prime ministers have ignored all the pleas of every council in the country saying, we haven't got enough hospitals, we haven't got enough schools, we haven't got enough roads and roundabouts and slip roads and bypasses. You know, that's been the problem, is that every council in the country has been raising these concerns, and every government and every prime minister in the last 20 years just completely ignored them.
I wouldn't actually say that. There were opportunities like the HIF. You know, I get criticism by the current Labour council saying, oh, you know, the MP at the time, you know, celebrated because we lost all this funding for the HIF bid. Well, actually, there was money available for infrastructure development, hence the HIF, to open up housing land. So there was opportunities by the government to give the money for spending on infrastructure. I just happened to not agree with the plan on the peninsula. And actually, if we had come up with a plan for something slightly different, actually, the money would have been there to help us deliver on the infrastructure. So I think there were opportunities, but the problem we had at a local level was they didn't really care about all the other things. It was just this complete obsession about numbers. You know, we had an opportunity. I mean, one of my campaigns during the last election was, well, why don't we turn Lodge Hill, which is a government-owned site, into having a second hospital? Oh, no. We didn't want that because we wanted the... They didn't want that because they wanted the capital receipt from the sale of the land for housing rather than handing it over to a new hospital. So I think there are lots of opportunities and different ways you can cut a plan. But for me, the focus was just on houses. And, you know, that was demonstrated by not supporting Chatham Docks. Mm-hmm. You know, Chatham Docks was a great... You know, it's a unique piece of infrastructure. It could have been used to develop the businesses there. There was an alternative plan, which I think you guys would have seen. And, you know, what a shame. Why weren't we championing businesses and growth and skilled jobs? But now what we're going to end up with is probably a load more flats, a load more retail units, or units that actually now, because of what was said in the budget last week, people are going to not want to rent because of the business rates to be too high. And actually we're seeing, you know, small businesses suffer in the current economics. So where are we going to be losing all this skilled employment at Chatham Docks now? You know, we're not going to be replacing those jobs with what's coming next. Mm. And I just find it really sad that, you know, we're not talking about creating communities. We're just talking about numbers, numbers, numbers. Now, that's not how communities form or how they thrive.
Docks owner Peel Waters say they're committed to developing high-quality employment space to create more jobs. Kelly was speaking there on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast. You can find that on the politics page of Kent Online or wherever you normally download your podcasts.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. The body of a man on trial in Kent for child sex offences has been found in Cornwall. David Grover had been appearing before a jury at Canterbury Crown Court, where he denied historic charges of abusing a young girl. The 72-year-old from Northumberland Avenue in Cliftonville failed to turn up on the fifth day, and his remains were later found 345 miles away. His death is not being treated as suspicious. A man will spend nearly 10 years in prison for killing another man in Canterbury. Nicola has more for the podcast.
Mohammed Noor Hagar has been sentenced for what a judge described as a sentence senseless and brutal attack in the city's centre last October. He was accused of fatally stabbing 23-year-old Samer Gerezgahir in the High Street following a confrontation near to the former Nason's department store. 32-year-old Hagar, who has no fixed address, fled to Herne Bay but was arrested soon after. During his trial, he pleaded guilty to manslaughter on the grounds of excessive self-defence. He's been locked up for 9 years and will spend another 4 on licence. As an Eritrean national, he'll also be considered for deportation by the Home Office.
Three men who threatened, punched and taped the hands of a man during a knife point robbery in Ashford have been jailed. The group broke into a home in the early hours of the morning in July last year. Designer clothes, jewellery, cash and the victim's car was stolen. They've been locked up for a total of 12 years. Police investigating claims of indecent exposure in Sittingbourne have released a picture of a person they want to speak to. It follows reports of inappropriate behaviour in West Street on November 12th between 7 and 7:30pm. We've shared the CCTV image at Kent Online. A man's been charged by police investigating reports a woman was repeatedly followed through a shopping centre in Tunbridge Wells. The 42-year-old is accused of harassing the alleged victim at Royal Victoria Place last month. He's been released on bail.
Kent Online News.
There are calls for COVID-style support for businesses in Tunbridge Wells impacted by major water supply issues in the town. MP Mike Martin has written to the Water Minister warning some companies could go under as a result of the current crisis. He wants the government to provide £18.5 million. Almost 24,000 properties in the town have got water back, but it must be boiled before it can be consumed. There are fresh calls to improve the safety of a road crossing in Maidstone after a man was killed in a crash. The mobility scooter he was riding was hit by a car at a roundabout in Royal Engineers Way last month. A local councillor says urgent action needs to be taken. The county council say they will review the police investigation to see if any concerns need to be addressed. Two people have fallen victim to distraction thefts while shopping in Canterbury. They'd just withdrawn cash from banks in the city centre when they were approached by strangers and later noticed the money was missing. Police are urging us to stay vigilant, especially over the Christmas period. Now, Medway's annual Dickens Christmas Festival is back for another year. The 2025 celebrations are taking place this weekend in Rochester High Street and in the Castle Grounds. There'll be live performances, costume parades and more than 100 stalls at the Christmas market. I was able to catch up with Medway Council Leader Vince Maple.
Well, we've got a long history here in Medway of celebrating our links with Dickens, and this Christmas will be no exception. This weekend, it's happening across both Saturday and Sunday. Free to attend. We know that we're expecting a region of 70,000 people to be there. It'll be a great atmosphere. Of course, alongside the brilliant Dickens costumes, carol singers, bell ringers, the cathedral will be putting on the relevant services as well for the running up to the Christmas period. And of course, we've got readings and talks taking place in the library. And if that wasn't enough, we've got our fantastic Rochester Christmas market happening in the grounds of Rochester Castle. So look, there really is something for everyone. And if you've never been before, make this your first time.
You mentioned there the amount of people that are expected to head to Rochester this weekend. I mean, it must just be a massive boost for local tourism at a particularly important time of year.
I mean, it's so critically important. We've got a great working relationship, the council working with traders, both those who come to the market every year, of course, our traders who are there 365 days a year. It's a real one Medway approach. We saw last year, of course, tragically, a big cancellation, not just in Medway, but across the country because of Storm Dara. But again, the community came together over the subsequent weekends of the market. We're hopeful, fingers crossed, that we won't be seeing any storms this weekend and we will see tens of thousands of people coming to enjoy themselves. So really something for everyone and a real boost. You know, it is Small Business Saturday on the Dickens weekend as well. So I'd encourage people not just to visit the market, but check out our brilliant shops, not just in Rochester, but the intra area and across the whole of Medway.
Now, we know that the Summer Dickens Festival, you know, sadly has been cancelled. We don't see that anymore. Are we seeing more people now attend the Winter Festival and taking part in the celebrations just at this one time of year?
I think focusing it on one event, you know, we have a great set of events across Medway throughout the year, whether it's Armed Forces Day, whether it's Love Gillingham, with Chatham Super Saturday, of course, sweeps in Rochester, but absolutely making sure we've got that strong link to Dickens. Focused, of course, on Christmas. He wrote the brilliant Christmas Carol. So actually lots of people associate our Dickens Festival and Dickens more generally with the Christmas period. So it's great to be working with all of those who give their time, often coming from all over the country to play their part in our brilliant Dickens weekend.
Kent Online News.
A gym in Folkestone that was set up especially for people who find it awkward to exercise in front of others is tripling in size. Mind and Muscle Fitness on Sandgate Road opened 2 years ago and has now expanded into the building next door. Owner Steve Brenner says he'll still restrict the number of clients so those who get anxious about working out are able to go there. An historic building within the grounds of Canterbury Cathedral is set for a major refurb before the new Archbishop moves in. The old palace is Grade 1 listed and is the head of the Church of England's official residence when they're in the city. Earlier this year, it was revealed Dame Sarah Mullally will be the first female Archbishop of Canterbury. She'll be enthroned in March. Now, thanks to your amazing generosity, more than £19,000 has been raised online for the Give a Gift campaign on our sister station, KMFM. The money will be used to buy presents for children in Kent in difficult situations this Christmas. Among the incredible donations was more than £1,000 raised by Suez employees in Ashford, Maidstone and Swale. I've been speaking to Atlanta Giddings-Wilson.
We in the Mid-Kent Partnership like to do something around Christmas every year, and for us, community is incredibly important. We like to support the communities in which we're working and do what we can to provide for them through charitable donations. So for us, the Give a Gift was the perfect opportunity for that, especially around Christmas when, you know, there can be extra strain on families in particular. And so for us, the Give a Gift campaign came at the perfect time. We were able to get all of our frontline crews and office staff involved, who were all more than willing to donate, which was fantastic to see, and amazed that we were able to raise £1,245.
It's just incredible. Were you aware of the campaign? How did you hear about it? How did you decide, yes, that's the one for us?
So our contract manager for Ashford heard about it on the radio, mm-hmm. And gave me a call straight away and said, we absolutely need to get on this. This is perfect. You know, a lot of our staff have families of their own, so it really hit home for a lot of us as well. And so for us, it was an easy decision, really. It was something we could all get behind. It's something that's going to make a difference in our local area, and where we could make a real impact. Mm.
And just finally, before I let you go, what would you say to other companies, other individuals, other families out there that might hear the campaign and think, oh, you know, have I still got time to donate? How easy is it to get a collection together and to actually make the donations?
Oh, it's so simple. It was really nice and easy for us. We simply sort of put a call out to our staff and then did a bit of a round robin at the depot, explaining to everyone what we were doing. And many of them were sort of just, you know, put me down for however much money. And we were able to collect that. They were able to transfer direct to the Just Giving page, which was fantastic, really quick and simple. Or we were able to collect sort of within, you know, transfer into one colleague's bank account and then they made the donation. So it couldn't be quicker or simpler. It takes 5 minutes out of your day, but the impact that will have is really long lasting. So really encourage, if you are able, do get involved. It's a fantastic cause.
Kent's first Italian Peruvian restaurant has been given an alcohol license just weeks after opening. Craving House took over the unit that used to be occupied by Espresso Lounge in Middle Row in Ashford. The boss says being able to serve drinks will make them a real social destination. Three schools in Kent have been named in a list of the top 10 state schools in the southeast. Tunbridge Grammar, Dartford Grammar and the Judd Schools have made it into Sunday Times Parent Power Guide. When it comes to primaries, Lee Academy Dartford was rated 8th in the region and the only one from the county. Tickets to see Fatboy Slim in Kent next summer go on sale today. He's going to be taking to the scenic stage at Dreamland in Margate at the end of August. Tom Grennan and Kesha have also been announced as artists coming to the venue in 2026.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it's a short trip to Essex for Gillingham this weekend. They're travelling to take on Colchester United in League Two. Gillingham are on a run of four games unbeaten, although the last three have all ended in a draw. Manager Gareth Ainsworth has been chatting to the club's media team.
A really good challenge, you know, they're on a real good run. You know, very counter-attacking team, but I think Danny Kelly has obviously got them going after a sticky start, and they're playing really free-flowing football and scoring good goals. So yeah, we're gonna have to be at our best, but there's no reason we can't go and pick the points up on the day. You know, it's it's important that we're organised, we know what we're doing, and because I'm sure that they'll be up for it on this run that they're on. You know, it's a fantastic run. So let's hopefully we can stop them.
The fans will be up for it as well. I imagine we'll take around about 1,000. It'll make for a cracking atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, travel really well. I've said that a lot, you know, and they were great at Shrewsbury last week. They really were, you know. Even at 2-1 down, 3-1 was a test for them. But thankfully, it was only a couple of seconds before half-time. But they got right behind the second half when we were kicking towards them. And you can see what kind of football we played second half. I'm really pleased and proud of that. And, you know, we will do damage to teams, but we've got to earn the right to do that. And that was... That was second half, getting hold of the ball, being composed and, playing some good stuff. So, thoroughly deserved the draw last week, you know. As I said, I think 5 minutes more, we win that game and that would have been a sensational comeback. But, I want to take the finish of that game into the start of Colchester on Saturday and, like I say, an early kick-off. I think we're the only game at that time, you know, and because of the FA Cup, there are very few league teams playing, you know, that weekend. So... it's a chance to grab some points and make the weekend count.
You get Armani Little back from suspension at the weekend. I bet he's chomping at the bit to be involved following his suspension.
Yeah, Martin's is the club captain, you know, and a real warrior, a real talisman, you know. And he was devastated to be banned for the two games, and we've had that a couple of times this year, you know, which has been tough to take, but. Brilliant to have him back, and one or two others, you know, now creeping on the grass, which is great. You know, Conor Masterson's seen out there, which is great. One or two knocks, but we're going with a pretty strong team.
You had to take off Sam Vokes last week due to injury. Will he be involved, or is that a wait and see?
Yeah, he came off with a niggle in his calf, but he felt it early enough for us to not have to worry too much about him being out, you know, which was great. So, you know, hopefully Vokes will make the trip. But it was great for Josh Andrews to take his moment, you know, and he was colossal second half. He really was, you know, and so as I've always said, you know, when one door closes, another one opens, and that was great for Josh to see Josh doing what he does best. Like, he had one of the best games he's had for a while for us, and the little break we took him out for, I think, worked.
Kickoff tomorrow is at the earlier time of 12:30. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online. We'll also have full reaction to the result in Monday's episode of the podcast. And in ice hockey, Kent's Invicta Dynamos are back in action this weekend. They're travelling to take on Chelmsford Chieftains in the Challenge Cup tomorrow before hosting Solent Devils in South Division 1 on Sunday. That's all for us today and for the week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.